The Gospel of John, chapter 6, records for us the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, and this text follows on the heels of that. And when they found him, that is Jesus, on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Welcome back from spring break. Imagine if you could take a large table and fill it with $1 million and take that down into the Metrodome, the floor of the Metrodome, and set it up on the floor. And then imagine 1,000 of those tables on the floor of the Metrodome. Gives you an idea of what $1 billion would look like. The interest on that, probably every week or two, would bring another table full of $1 million in. That's just how much it produces, just generating by itself on interest. To think that in the United States, there are at least 400 people that have at least that much money themselves. There are 400 plus billionaires. It was just reported last week in the United States. That's just amazing. I wonder how many are in the room today. And even in a culture that has that kind of money and so on, and yet not everybody obviously possesses that, and in fact, some people in these tough economic times are hurting and so on, but we still live in a pretty affluent society, even the poorest. A reporter, John Stossel, recently said, "Isn't it nice to live in a country where the biggest problem among our poorest citizens is obesity?" It's easy for us to forget the kind of wealth that surrounds us. And we get so caught up in the standard of what we are blessed with here in the United States that when we just take a little bit of a dip down, boy, we just feel like we're hurting so badly and so on. Every year, bodies wash up on the shore of Miami from other islands where people are risking their lives to try to get to our country. You don't find very many American bodies floating up on other shores. In the text before us, Jesus has just performed this amazing miracle. We think, well, how fascinating that must have been to watch this production of food, this miraculous production of food to feed all of these people, 5,000 people at least that were gathered there. And the people are so impressed by this, and they want to make him their king. Wouldn't it be great to have somebody that could just take care of everything you ever want or need miraculously? And so they follow him. They follow him across the lake even. Hordes of people coming toward him because they know of the great benefits that he can give them. And Jesus uses this opportunity to stop them and to teach them this all-important, most important spiritual lesson. And he uses the imagery of consuming things, of eating things, when he talks about the bread of life that comes from heaven. Eating is a very important part of our lives, obviously. It's probably the first thing that you screamed for when you came into this world, other than a swat from the doctor. But you probably, one of the first things that your voice was used for was to call out for food. It's a natural urge inside of us. Our bodies naturally desire and seek nourishment. They want to be fed. And the same is true for us when it comes to the spiritual realm. The soul of man has a desire to be fed. And it goes out into the world seeking and looking for things that can fill that hunger, that can somehow fill up and give us a sense of satisfaction about life. And what Jesus is pointing out to us is that we can so easily be tempted to run to the wrong things to fill that hunger, to fill that void, that lack of satisfaction inside of us. We can so often run to the things of this world that are going to perish and die and ultimately fade away, thinking that if we can just have them long enough, that will satisfy this longing inside of us. But it will always leave us hungry. But boy, it is so tempting, isn't it, when we have so much wealth around us, so much in front of us. Just think how hard it would be to find a seat in chapel this morning if we were just handing out tickets at the door and telling everybody that we would give away a car to one person with the right ticket, or a new computer, maybe even just $100. How much faster would we have come into the sanctuary this morning? How much more would I have wanted to make sure to get my seat and to get my ticket? Jesus talks about the worldly things around us is food that perishes. And we kind of know that, but we still want it. We're still driven to desire this and try to fill ourselves up with it. Remember years ago, a lady had joined our church that I was serving, was so upset because she couldn't get her husband to ever come to church, and he had no time for God, no time for religion at all. And he was probably in his 30s or early 40s. And it just bothered her, and she wanted to know how she could get him to come. And she said, the most important thing in his life is his yard. And boy, he had a nice yard. And I always would think what it would be like for that man, should that not change in his life, to be standing before God on Judgment Day and God asking him why he pushed away the gospel and his word that was so prevalent around him, and hearing the man say, yeah, God, but did you see my shrubs? I had killer shrubs. Martin Luther says it this way: we are excited to take a handful of corn and let the gospel pass by. And really inside of even us Christians, there's that same urge, that same drive that wants to look at life that way too. We can get caught up in that same kind of thinking. Our hearts can be attached to the things of this world and the benefits of this world, the pleasures of this world, the fun things we can have, trying to make sure that everything will be secure for us. You're at a classic stage in life where you're looking ahead. You're probably full of trepidation about, am I going to get a job when I get out of college, and so on. And we can be so consumed by what we can get and what we can have here in this world and in this life. And the devil can just use that to suck Christ out of our hearts, to suck heaven right out of our lives. Think of all the things that the Son of God could have come down to this earth to get for you. Think of all the great things. Think of the list of things that he could have made his mission as far as acquiring them for you and putting his life on the line for them. But none of that garbage was worth it, because it perishes, it dies. It ends up blowing away and rotting and decaying, just like your body will someday. But eternal life, peace with God, having the forgiveness of all of your sins, having a righteous, holy, perfect record before the throne of God, so that you could someday walk into the doors of heaven and live forever in bliss, to have your body rise again from the dead and live eternally without any of the problems of sin on it anymore. This was worth his mission. This was worth his cross. This was worth his blood. This was worth him feeling your hell, so that you could have that in your life. Just think how absolutely fantastic heaven must be, that the Son of God would give it up and suffer hell so that you and I could get to live there forever. You see, Christ has not come into this world to make this life for us more tolerable, not to make this life more our paradise, but rather to show us the reality of this stinking, dying world, so that we don't grab onto it with our souls and our hearts, and that we realize how much greater it is to live for the eternal joys he has come to win us. Perishable bread And you can define that in whatever way you want as far as an earthly pleasure or an object or thing or anything. Perishable bread only sustains perishable life, temporal life. But this imperishable bread that Christ gives us in the gospel sustains imperishable and eternal life. And so Christ invites us to hunger for the bread that endures for eternity. One of the healthy signs of a body that is recovering is when the appetite starts to come back. And it's true likewise for us when it comes to the realm of spiritual matters, where the soul hungers and thirsts for the forgiveness of sins, where the soul hungers for knowing Christ and for his grace and for the heaven that he's come to give us, there is spiritual health returning. And our Lord Jesus says to you and me, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Please rise. Lord Jesus Christ, make the vanity of this world bitter to me, so that you may become the more sweet. Amen.